This is a sizzly conversation that we're having today. Joining me is Liz Dubay, a certified sex therapist. We chat about sex, menopause, granny panties, what to do if your sex life is in a rut, and how to reconnect with your sexy self. Although it is glaringly obvious, I'm gonna say it anyways. This episode is not intended for younger ears, so be mindful of who's around or just pop in your earbuds. Buckle up, let's talk about sex, baby. This is the Roller Coaster Podcast. We are here to help you be empowered and renew your sense of purpose as a midlife mom. This is your time to redefine and reclaim your power as a woman. Just because our kids are getting older doesn't mean that our lives still don't have crazy twists, turns, ups and downs. And that's not to mention what our hormones are doing. We're navigating helping our kids plan their next chapters while quietly wondering, what the heck does my next chapter look like? My name is Lucy Q, wife, mom, podcaster, and journaling mentor. This is a crazy time in your life, but you are not alone. So I'm inviting you to throw your head back, arms in the air, and come along with me for the ride.
Life is like a roller coaster, baby.
Welcome to the roller coaster, Liz.
Hey, I'm ready. I love ups and downs.
Oh,
it's the story of my life.
I think that's the story of all of our lives, especially our sex lives, because I don't know why you'd think that by the time our kids are older, you know, whether they're going to living away for school part of the year or they've completely moved out like our kids have, that you kind of think that your sex life would be a little bit more explosive. You'd be, you know, maybe trying new things, but that's not really the case, because usually by the time our kids are moving out, that's when we as women are going through menopause. And we're always ruled by our hormones, but this really seems to throw a bit of a wrench in things, because, you know, we're figuring out our bodies as they're changing. So, you know, in your experience, how does menopause affect our sex lives?
Can I just first say, it's just so fucked up. It's so unfair. That you finally get an empty house so that you can screw in every room of the house without being interrupted, that you don't have to worry about how much noise you make. And now you have this impact on your body. And well, it's just so wrong.
I'm going to say that for me, it was a little bit different, because it took me a long time to figure myself out sexually. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I picked up some sort of hang up about, I don't know, some belief about, you know, yourself as a mother and, you know, your sexual self and all of that. So I had just gotten to a point in my life where I was really figuring stuff out. Like I knew how my body was working. And in fact, I actually had an increase in desire.
Which is
not necessarily common. But then I've noticed sort of in the last few weeks, something is changing a little bit more. So obviously my hormones are changing and it's just, you know, it's even trying to explain to your husband, you know, what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, it's like, so what worked last week isn't going to work this week because, you know, your hormones are all different. So it's a constant roller coaster, ups and downs, trying to figure out. And it's just like, you said, you just want to fucking every room and not worry about it.
I totally agree that not all women are going to experience menopause the same way. And so the debilitating, like this idea of our desire just shuts down completely isn't the case for all women. And I think what we were talking about before we started the show is you were like alluding to the idea of like, what, when you are menopausal, what does that mean about myself as a woman in terms of my sexiness, my attractiveness? Like, am I now invisible, or do I get to be a sexual being? So there's so many things that are there. Maybe the hormonal changes, there may be changes that you actually notice in your desire, in the way that your body is showing up. the level of irritation, the hot flashes, and how that can influence our tolerance of the people in our lives. Those are pieces. But then there's also just our interpretation of what does this mean about me as a woman? You know, so much of what we see in society is women that are so much younger than us.
Yeah.
Women that we see in Hollywood, average ages, it seems like are 30s. And here we are in our late 40s, our 50s, our 60s. And where do we fit in? And that, I think, has an impact on how we're going, the desire we're going to experience, because if we don't see ourselves as sexy, then whatever you focus on gets bigger. So if you think of yourself as sexy and you're fueling that sex drive with the things that you appreciate about your sexiness, and you're leaning into that narrative of I am sexy, then you're going to have more desire, and the hormonal changes are not going to influence you as much. But if you've got all of this stuff that's like squishing your desire down, then I mean, it's going to take definitely a lot of work to be able to start to ignite desire in you. And that starts in your brain. It really starts you being able to shift your thoughts of saying, you know, just because I'm in menopause doesn't mean I'm not sexy. That this idea of what is sexy, I get to decide. And does my partner think I'm sexy? And when they express their desire for me, can I appreciate that and take that in and believe it and help to fuel that? And this idea of like, as our bodies are changing, yeah, our bodies are definitely changing. Even if you're premenopausal, your body is different. The sex that you're having in your 40s is not what you were wanting in your 20s. It's totally different. So as you've evolved, the communication is an important piece with your partner. And this is something nobody's taught how to communicate with our partners about sex and intimacy. Most of us have been taught about sex from Hollywood. And that means we're supposed to read our partner's mind and they're supposed to know exactly what to do. And it's just easy. And the thing is it can be easy if you're communicating, saying, hey, this is what I'd like tonight. And here are some of the changes that have happened in my body. And here are some ideas that I have on how to make adjustments, or can you help me figure out some ideas? Let's figure this out together, that you don't have to do this alone. This is a partnership here.
And you mentioned something really important, and that's, you know, when it comes to our minds. And it made me think of, I think it was one of your TikToks that I was watching, when you were talking about the difference between, I think you used the comparison when we're first dating.
Yeah.
And our sex then. Mm-hmm. And that really made sense, because, you know, I think for a lot of women, you know, sex starts in our head.
Yeah.
Whether it's the good stories or the bad stories that we're telling ourselves, whether mm-hmm. we think we're sexy or we think we're not sexy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you can share a little bit more about how our mind really affects our sexual selves.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating how many people I've talked to over the years, hundreds of people that are trying to reignite spontaneous desire. They're feeling like they're broken, that these women think, well, there's something wrong with me, or their partners think there's something wrong with her. We used to get it on like rabbits. And that was because so many things. You were focused on everything that you liked about your partner. Maybe you didn't live with them. You know, living with a partner is hard. I was just talking to my 17-year-old about this today. I said, you know, part of what surviving living with other people is trying to be less annoying and try to be less annoyed by everyone in your family. And it's a daily process here. That it's not an easy thing to do. And that's going to squash our desire. And if we start to focus on those things that annoy us about our partners, that's going to squash our desire. But when we're dating, we're in fantasy land. We don't know the annoying things about our partner, and they haven't broken our trust. They haven't betrayed us. They haven't pissed us off. They haven't you know, we don't know all those annoying idiosyncrasies that they do. And all we're doing is focusing on how sexy they are, how attracted they are, and our fantasy of our life with them. Of course, that's going to fuel our desire, that whatever you focus on gets bigger. Then you're like, oh, I'm so hot and heavy for this person. But once you get into that relationship and you start to notice that this is a human being, this person isn't a movie star that's like your perfect ideal of a partner. And then that starts to squash it. But also when we're in that mindset of dating and we're thinking they're so fabulous and they're on their best behavior, we're on our best behavior too. Like I said, we're not wearing the granny panties when we're dating. Unless we're trying to hold off. We're like, okay, I'm wearing the granny panties so that it helps me say no tonight when I want to hold off. That, you know, and so are you wearing the granny panties? Like, don't wear, like, throw those fuckers out. Okay. You need to start, like, are you putting things on your body that make you feel delicious, make you feel sexy? Or are you focused on, my size has changed and I don't like that. My boobs are sagging more and I don't like that. And so those aren't sexy thoughts. Those aren't going to help to fuel your desire. And so I think so much of these aging struggles that we have are not just about hormones. So much of it is about how we perceive ourselves and all that negativity and criticisms of ourselves is going to fuel, like, is it going to stifle the desire? It's not going to fuel it.
Yeah. Now, you know, again, when it comes to our mind, how do we go about finding those, like switching from I'm not sexy to finding out what we may find sexy about ourselves and then bringing those out? How do we sort of do that?
Yes. So it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. And you can't trick yourself into thinking things. We're complicated beings. And so I would say begin with the things that you do appreciate about your body. I've had clients that the only thing I could get them to appreciate about their body were their hands and their feet. And so then that's what we focus on. You make sure you get your mani-pedi you make sure that that's looking good, girlfriend. And you focus on that. And then you slowly work your ways up your arms and your collarbone and your hair. And what do you need to do? Are you not getting your hair done in a way that, are you not taking the time for yourself that to be able to make yourself feel more attractive? That I'm not saying you need to wear makeup to be sexy, but if you think you need to wear makeup to be feel sexy, why the fuck aren't you wearing makeup?
Well, it's like anything though, that when, you know, on the days where you just kind of get up and you got a lot to get done and you don't have a shower, you throw your hair back in a pony, you always, you know, you get to the end of the day and you're kind of like, oh, I kind of feel gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of feel icky. But on those days where you get up and you do your hair and you do your makeup and you put on that outfit that always makes you feel special, you show up differently.
Exactly, Lucy. That's exactly what I would suggest, is that start off your day and what is your priority? Is your priority going and doing things for other people? Or is your priority saying, I got to first do some self-care? And let me make sure that I feel cute, I feel sexy, I feel attractive. What am I putting on my body and how am I presenting myself to be able to help fuel that? Because all day, if you're in that ponytail and those sweats and the frumpy clothes that you don't feel attractive in, that's the mindset that you're fueling all day long. And then what, you're going to try to shift it in the evening? Yeah. And that's not helpful. And so it's a shift in your mindset of saying, okay, how am I prioritizing things? Am I taking time for self-care to make myself feel better? Do I need to throw away all those frumpy clothes and start to only allow myself to put on things that make me feel good? Have you gained weight and now you feel like the only things that fit you are sweats and frumpy stuff? You know what? Get rid of the clothes that don't fit you and shift over to find some cute clothes that fit, that make you feel, that feel good against your skin. Think about all five senses. So that's one of the places that all started. It's like visually your idea of like, yeah, but put yourself together in a way that makes you feel good. And then every time you see yourself in the mirror, you go, oh, okay, I feel good. And then the skin, the clothing next to your skin, does it feel tight and yucky on your skin? And you're feeling like, ooh, yuck, I'm not liking that. Or is it feeling nice against your skin? Material, texture, fit, that can be able to help. You, when you look in the mirror, are you focusing on the things that you find attractive about yourself? Can you find someone in that you admire that you think is sexy, that isn't 25, that isn't 35, that isn't a size 4? Can you find someone that is more relatable, that you go, you know what, yeah, she's sexy and she's not fitting into this really messed up Hollywood idea of what is sexy? And so shifting the narrative, it's going to take I think through that, like acting sexy, then you start to believe that you're sexy. And then you'll start to identify maybe some things that can help you fuel it. Like, I don't know, like taking a yoga class, doing some meditation, breathing into yourself. So there's a lot of different things, but I would say, you know, we got to start off with the basics. We're in a short podcast, so
yeah. I think ultimately we do have to, and this is, you know, self-care and mindset in general when it comes to us as women, is that we have to acknowledge that we are all beautiful, mm-hmm. and our partners are with us for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're still with us through all of the changes and the craziness that our bodies have been through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess in a sense, it all comes down to how we're looking at ourselves and how we're thinking about ourselves and those stories that we're telling ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That builds up.
It does. And it starts to, it's a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. but you know, once you sort of, you create that foundation, you can grow from there. Mm-hmm. But once you start identifying and seeing yourself and reconnecting with your own sort of sexy self, mm-hmm. then you have the element of, okay, now we have to talk about our sex life. Because I think for most people, sex just, well, it either happens or it doesn't just happen. But if it's happening, it's like, how many people actually have a conversation about having sex before they have sex? Because yeah. In a sense, like for me, like I wouldn't be able to do it right before. It's like, okay, let's have a conversation. Okay, here we go. Because it'd be mm-hmm. like, you know, you feel a bit weird. So
yes.
How do I don't know. Some people can, but so how do you actually start to have those conversations? Because I'm fairly open. I can talk about these things, but even like, my husband's a little bit more shy. He's, you know, not as forthcoming. So I still find myself going, okay, so how do I talk about this? Or how do I bring this up without sounding really weird?
Yeah. I mean, so let's see, what's the simple answer? Because there's so many different things that people are saying, how do I talk about this or that or the other? And my partner will laugh. He'll go, oh, I know that you're in the sex therapy mindset, when I'll start to phrase things in a certain way. And he's like, I know what you're doing, honey. I know what you're doing. And he's like, I'm here. I'm listening. So I think that if you start that first conversation may feel awkward, and be okay with that. You know, that change happens through discomfort. And so that's going to be a piece of it. And so you can blame it on me. You can say, hey, I listened to this podcast and there was this sex therapist.
And blame it on Lucy and Liz.
yeah. And she said that conversations about sex should happen over dinner or coffee or drinks. It shouldn't happen in the bedroom. I mean, certainly I'm not saying it shouldn't happen in the bedroom. You get to coach your partner as you're going through sex in the bedroom. But sometimes if there's something that you want less of, it's a little bit, it can be more fragile in the bedroom. So
yeah.
To have those conversations, I would say it's, you introduce it. Hey, I listened to this podcast today and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to start talking about, like, what are some things that you would like more of? What are some things that you really, that we've done that maybe you'd like to reintegrate into our relationship? And what are some things that we're doing that you'd like less of? And so you approach it with that sort of framework, this general idea, and then having those conversations on a regular basis will start to heat up. You know, you'll start to feel more comfortable and be more specific about things. But I do like the tool that I learned years and years ago was you sandwich it, is that you say, hey, I really love this thing that we're doing. And here's this thing that I'd really like less of. And then, and here's how I appreciate you. And I'd like, you know, this other thing that you keep doing. So it's like you do a good, and then you do the thing that you want to change. And
yeah. You put the bad in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit sandwich. Yeah. Is that what it is? So does that answer the question?
Yeah. Like, no, that's definitely, yeah. It's, you know, it's enough for, you know, somebody to be able to find their own way, take some information and find their own way.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we're talking about menopause, we could give a specific example even of saying, honey, I'm just realizing now that my body is changing, or that I need more outer course. I'd really like us to play around with making out and doing some erotic massage with some oils and tease it out. I'd really love to enjoy teasing your body and have you tease mine. And I think I'd enjoy things so much more. And I think it would be a really fun way for us to start connecting in a different way. And that's a positive, like, I want you. This is something that I'm longing for. It isn't like, honey, you know, you go so quick. You know, you jump right to my pussy and, you know, you're all about penetration and I'm over it. You got to change things. Like, that's
hilarious. But okay. So you raised a really good point there. And this goes back to Hollywood sex. Mm-hmm. Is that it's pretty much always focused on penetration.
Yeah.
And I think you know the stat, it's what, 90% of women don't have an orgasm just through penetration.
Yeah. Those clits need to get stimulated.
Yeah. And you know, it's also, you can't also necessarily expect your partner to do that 100% themselves, because for some people it can take a lot longer than others. Sure. So that's where you sort of have to bring into the conversation, you know, whether you're using a vibrator or dildo or anything like that, mm-hmm. you need to be able to bring those up in your conversation and in a way where you're not making your partner think that they're doing something wrong.
Yes. Yeah. And that may be the case, that if your body has changed to the extent that it's really hard to reach orgasm and you've never had a toy in the bedroom before, being able to say, hey, I'm having such a hard time orgasming. And I was thinking maybe of bringing a toy into the bedroom. What do you think about that? And I would hope they'd be like, ooh, that's hot. That's hot. I want to see that. I want to play with that. Or yeah, like, show me how you like it first. And then, you know, teach me, show me how you like it. I hope that their partner would respond in that way. If their partner responds in a way in a heterosexual relationship, like, oh, that's emasculating, then I would get curious with them to say, so what, tell me what makes that emasculating, that I want you and then this to supplement so that I can reach orgasm at similar levels to you. Tell me, how does that emasculate you? Because I want you. I want to do this with you. And, but I think getting curious with them. So if you have that tool of being able to don't get defensive, get curious with them, then I would hope that the conversation could end in a productive, good way. But if you're worried about their reaction and then you're going to get defensive and then they're going to get defensive, then I could see how there'd be this fear of leaning into those conversations. But if you know that, hey, no matter what, we're going to be able to figure this out because I'm going to be curious and compassionate given that he's got all these messed up sexual narratives just like me. Both men and women have those.
Definitely. Definitely. I think sex brings out a lot of those complicated emotions that we're never really taught how to bring them forward, how to discuss them. Because, yeah. I mean, for the most part, at least for, you know, women in our age group, I still want to say that we were raised with sex being a taboo. Like, yeah. Certainly in high school, if you weren't having sex, you were frigid. And if you were having sex, you were a slut. Yeah. How do you win?
Still that way.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's okay for the guys to go out and have their fun. But if you're a girl doing that, well, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. So I think there's still a lot of hangups. So having those conversations are going to begin to open things up. But another problem that, you know, I've heard from other friends is that the sex life can either become routine.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you're just doing the same thing over again, or it actually ceases to exist altogether.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that are in what's considered a sexless marriage.
Yes. You're speaking, you're sing. What do they say that? Singing to the choir, speaking to the.
Oh God. Preaching to the choir.
You're preaching to the choir. Oh, amen, girlfriend. Amen. Yeah. I mean, job security for me, unfortunately.
So how is it that, you know, if you find yourself either in a position where your sex life is in a bit of a rut, or it's actually ceasing to exist.
Yeah.
How do you begin to turn that around a bit?
So where to begin? I have so many ideas. I gotta narrow these suckers down. So I would say first and foremost, you need to sit down with your partner and say, hey, I wanna start making our sex life a priority. And see if they're on board with you. And do you know what you want? Do you have a vision of what you're longing for? If you do, start to get some ideas of what you'd like it to look like. If you're mostly focused on complaints, shift those, list out those complaints. Great. But I need you to shift those over to a positive. So write them all out. And then how can you say them in a positive way so that you can start making requests of your partner so you can express the longing and the desire and what you're wanting with your partner rather than the focus on the negativity and what it is that isn't working. And is there something that you need in order to make that happen? What is it that you're needing to do yourself? Are you showing up, like we said, like, are you wearing the granny panties? Like, what are you doing? First, you know, focus on your side of the street. And that's going to be an important thing to work on too. So you're focusing on your side of the street. You're communicating to your partner. You start to carve out time for it. Don't make it at the end of the list, you know, the last thing that you do every day. Maybe you start to reintegrate touch and you say, hey, can we just schedule some pleasure sessions? Schedule some time for us to get together where it's not focused on intercourse, that we do some erotic massage together. We explore each other's bodies like it's new again. Like rather than making these assumptions of what we want, this sort of efficient sex where we just get to the orgasm, we shift into that place of curiosity and exploring each other's bodies. Take some turns. Like, how about I'm gonna give you everything tonight. It's all about you. And then tomorrow night, it's all about me. And let's, you know, take some turns and see what are we learning from those experiences. Are you even connecting on an emotional level? Are you doing things together that make you want to have sex with your partner? When you go on dates, is all you're doing is going out to eat? Or are you going and seeing each other in elements that make you feel attracted and connected to one another? And so it's prioritizing, it's carving out time for your partner, it's communication in a way that's curious, compassionate, and positive. And it's trying to take away these expectations and with that curious communication, you're showing up as curious. Those, I think, would be some important steps to begin. And then if you keep getting stuck there, then it may be helpful for you to visit a sex therapist, for you to have some sessions on how do we begin again. Because I'm telling you, so many people wait too long. They sit and they're trying to figure things out, but they don't have the right information, and then they're stuck.
And I think a lot of the reasons why people don't ask for information is they're embarrassed and they think that they're broken.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All this baggage and shame that we're carrying, but that's what you coach people on. And you have a program coming out soon, don't you? Yeah. That helps people in this area. So did you want to share a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to. So in addition to therapy and coaching one-on-one, I've also got an online coaching program that over the course of 4 weeks, people get live time with me. It's completely anonymous, but it is a group environment. And so you'll get weekly workshops with me, weekly exercises, and weekly Q&A with me to be able to work over 4 weeks to be able to identify what it is that you keep doing to push your desire down. What do you need to change to be able to start igniting your desire, and the tools to communicate that to your partner? So these are some detailed worksheets and exercises to be able to figure it out. What is it about you? Because we're talking about this all in general, right? But everybody's got a different situation. And so they need to be able to work it out given their specific circumstances. And so that's why I designed that, because not everybody wants to do therapy and I can't accommodate everyone. And I'm trying to save the world one bedroom at a time. So, I mean, I got to do it, right?
So is this something that you do as an individual woman, or is this something that you do with your partner?
It's as an individual woman. It's designed for women, and it's not a couples program. I find that it is more effective to meet with the individual woman to help her figure out what is happening within her. If you feel like he's the one with low desire, then that's not the program for you, really, because you've got the desire. It's called Reignite Your Sexual Desire. So it's for women who are either struggling with desire or have never felt sexually empowered. And so it's specifically designed for women that are in that situation and wanting to figure things out within their relationship. So it's a really good place to work, especially if you're in couples counseling already, where you're doing this to supplement it. And then you can use everything that you gain from the workshop to be able to communicate to your partner of like, yeah, here's where I'm at. This is what I want. This is what would help me to be able to create a really satisfying, juicy sexual relationship with you.
And just as we wrap up, two final things. Do you have any final words of wisdom or tips for our listeners? And where can they connect with you?
Yeah. Well, you can always find me on my website, talksexwithliz.com. And then I'm on TikTok. So I've got plenty of videos. So a lot of the questions that you asked today, I do videos on these sorts of questions, because this is just the common question that comes up for so many people. I think my biggest word of wisdom is just, you're normal. You know, it's like, we're all struggling. We have these busy lives. And I think so much of the shame of there's something wrong with me, I should be this sexual diva, or you feeling broken in some ways. It's like, we are all struggling and everybody lies about sex. All, you know, it's like your friends may be having sexual struggles, but they're too embarrassed to truly be transparent about it. And your friends, so then that people may be bragging about it, or they're doing the opposite. They're minimizing their awesome sluttiness. So we don't know. And so be gentle with yourself and recognize that we're all struggling with sexual shame, and then go have sex.
And lots of it. To connect with Liz, make sure you check out the show notes. I will have all of the links in there. And Liz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you're looking to take a deep dive and really get clear on who you are and what you want, and to start living life on your terms, then I invite you to grab a copy of my Empowered Midlife Mom Journal. It is the very first teeny tiny baby step that you can take to begin your journey of self-exploration. I promise you, it's painless and takes just a few minutes a day. Get your copy at therollercoasterpodcast.com/midlifemomjournal or check out the show notes for a link. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roller Coaster Podcast. Want to chat or share your ideas about today's show? Pop me an email at hello@therollercoasterpodcast.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at The Roller Coaster Podcast. Our theme song, Roller Coaster, was performed by The Lucky Setback. Audio editing by the one and only Jeff Quigley of Quigley Creative.